Sunday. Sci-Fi sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Okay, fired up. All right. Hello, car gals, ghouls, guys, and everybody else out there in the automotive world. You're listening to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your co-hosts, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We got Chassis John in the house today, and we are celebrating Mother's Day. So we are we're doing it a little untraditionally. It's not the way we've done it in the past. We used to do a really nice compilation show. It was our best of. And that just because of the constraints that we have here, we weren't able to do that this year. But you can still get a hold of us. You can talk to us live by calling 516-256-9510. Of course, check us out on the web, motormouthradio.com. And we're on all the social media platforms. Twitter and Facebook are the same name. And Instagram is Joe's favorite, real_motormouthradio. And you can see the pictures we post, the things we get into during the week. Not so much now, not so much these days, but we still get into a little weirdness. So yeah, drop us a line, give us a call, like, share everything, and mainly get a hold of us, and we can talk today live on the air. So what's happening, John? You look nice and relaxed. Chris, you're looking good in front of the Electra.
I'm plumbing brake lines.
Brake lines. Very good. You know what? Why not? I got to say, today is, well, actually it was last week was an anniversary. It was actually the anniversary that Joe and I started doing the show in 2016 as a duo. And I had it in my book. My book wasn't next to me. I totally forgot it. So I want to throw out a mention to that. And thanks to all of our tech support behind the scenes to make this show work. We're actually doing this from three separate states today. And through modern technology, we could actually make this work.
All right. Can anybody hear me?
We just, do hear you, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Good.
There you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but lower your level because you're coming in hot as heck again. Well, you're like the kamikaze from World War II that just comes in like, yeah, with the guns blazing, fire coming out of the back. Yeah.
How about now?
That's better. Crashing
all right,
into
good.
The deck.
Okay, I'm ready.
Right.
Wow. You know, it's so funny because technology is really a funny thing. And when I was in the process of trying to load up Zoom to get into the meeting, I was having a little problem with the computer. But right. The funny thing is you go to reboot. I'm always the reboot guy. Just reboot. And my computer, I totally forgot, my computer takes forever to reboot. It has to say things like, am I a microwave oven? Am I a vacuum cleaner? Am I a cell phone? Oh, no, I'm a computer. That's what I am.
Yeah, that's one of the things you usually don't. That's like the last resort is reboot. Yeah.
And this was. And I'll get into the technical mumbo jumbo later. It's not because I don't feel like I don't want to bore anybody. But it was one of those panic type of moments where you just like, abort.
Right.
Abort.
Well, we got it going. You know, Chris, yes. maybe we should talk a little bit about the history, because what's happening is we're not doing our typical Mother's Day show, which became a staple.
Yes. But we always have to have one blip in the universe, that's for sure. And I guess this was the blip. Usually we all get together. It's a big project. We play the best bits of the year. And but this is the best bit of the year, if you ask me. The fact that we're able to do this and get away with it is just remarkable in itself, and one big joke.
Yeah, you know, just people don't know what goes into it, but every week when I listen to the show, I listen to it back on usually on a Monday, and go through it and try and pull out the clips that are good for a promo, for a quick little promo bit or a drop or a bumper liner that's radio talk, or longer ones, maybe an interview or a guest we had that's good for Mother's Day, because we always featured those special guests that had great stories and wacky voices. Right. And you know, and I have all of them. I have the 2020 Mother's Day file. It's loaded with stuff. But we really had no way to play the CD.
Well, hopefully next year, Sean will give us 2 hours and we'll be able to do the best bits of 2019 to 2021.
And we'll have a CD player to do it on, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'll have a CD player to do it on. Yeah, I was actually trying to figure it out here. I have my CD player and I was going to try and get it piped into the board and just do it straight from here and it just didn't materialize.
Right.
So it's just one of those things. Life got in the way.
We're trying to walk and chew gum at the same time, and that's hard enough sometimes, let alone add another component, and boy, you know, you're screwed.
You're absolutely right. But I do have something to bring up, and I do want to...
Use the garbage pail over by the side here. You have a habit of getting messy.
Let me tell you something. Ray, you know when I start a conversation like this, when I go, Ray, Ray... Ray.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
You know when I have a problem. It's a personal problem. John, jump in anytime on this because it's one of those stories.
Okay.
I'm having an issue with my drop light.
Oh. I thought you were going to say you were having a problem with your nuts. That was the last one you dropped on me about 8 years ago.
No, I think – now, here's the funny thing. I think my drop light is in love with me.
Okay, as I take a drink of water, that was probably a stupid thing to do.
I'm serious. I have been using the same drop light for about 20 years, and I can't tell you, every time I use the silly thing, the light turns to me.
Ah.
Every single time I take the drop light, I turn it around and point it at what I need lit.
Right.
Old ones with the metal cage with the hook on top.
That's exactly it, John. It has got the metal cage. It's got the plastic handle. It's got a cord. And that's exactly it. And I will hang it on anything and flood the area with light. I will start to work. All of a sudden, the silly thing, next thing I know, I'm blind. The silly thing will turn to me. And now I'm like trying to sing. I'm like on stage now. It's like I'm in a play. I got to turn it back. This is what I'm looking at. I'm pointing it at something. And of course, it turns to me. So I lay it down. Now it's on something. Something is going to keep it from turning. Oh, no. It will turn to me again. Next thing you know, I'm blind.
When you pick it up to sing, do you do the candy colored clown that was the movie Blue Velvet? That was a great scene, singing into the Roy Orbison into the drop light. It was kind of eerie.
Yeah, I'm more along the lines. I'm more like Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah.
Who can take a rainbow?
Yeah,
that's me. But yeah, this is my plight this week. Everything I was doing on my car, I was blinded. I was getting sterile because and I'm thinking to myself, who can I talk to about this? Where can I get therapy for this? What do I have to tell my? How do I break up with my drop light? How do I do this?
Looks like John has a Star Wars drop line over there.
John, what is that? John
has
showing
a magnet under it. Also.
Ooh, John has got this thing that looks like it looks like
it's like
Tonka
a tractor.
Truck.
Yeah. It looks like a Tonka toy.
The DeWalt 20 volt light, work light.
Wow.
You know, that you can clip it. It's got a stand that you can make it stand up. It's got a magnet on the back that you can stick it up under the dashboard or anywhere you want. It rotates.
This wow.
Spins around 180 degrees.
Look at
way to go.
Look at John using his light like a pro.
It is bright.
Woo-hoo-hoo! You know, I'm going to tell you something. This is a great topic because, especially with Macho Man Brian in our cadre, you know, and I'm going to just sum it up. Chris, you have the answer right there. And that is, you have that. And I have one of those drop lights as well.
I'm having drop light envy.
It works. The problem is, you know, the problem is going to be finding incandescent bulbs. The other side of the story is there's so many forms of lighting now for the garage and shop.
Yeah.
And it's all LED. And fantastic. Now, some of it's better than others. I've used quite a few of them. And like Mike at the shop, we call them Mikey lights. Yeah, John's got the lightsaber.
Yeah.
I have one of those that's 4 foot long.
Battery operated.
Yeah.
Wow. At
the bottom.
And I'll tell you, my problem and my pick with the LED stuff is, unless it's pointed directly at what you want to do, it doesn't help, right? The incandescent puts that wave of light across things.
Very true. I have a LED lamp that I wear on my head. And I know, Ray, from knowing you, my longtime radio colleague, I know you do not like to wear lights on your head. I, on the other hand, if I can get as many floodlights on the top of my flat head, I would.
I'll tell you what I may be buying. I'll probably get it from Brian. Snap-on sells it as well. It's a light. It goes around your neck, and there's lights on either side. And so now I don't know if it slips around or I don't know how the fitment is.
Right.
But yeah, that's like the next best thing to your head. Mikey T had given me a pair of eyeglass frames with LEDs on the sides that could rotate up and down.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen those, yeah.
And they were pretty damn good, except this was going back a long time. They weren't as powerful as what's out there now.
Sure.
You know, Harbor Freight has a great selection. I have a few of their lights that are actually really – they have one of the best lights. I saw it up at the UD, and I want to say hi to the guys at the UD because I know Dougie's listening on Sunday. He's working, but he's listening. Hey, Doug, I had a few conversations with him this week about stuff.
I love when you get personal.
Yeah. But I saw this light sitting there, and it was very slender, you know, thin base, and it had the LED rectangular top. I found out the thing rotates like, you know, 90 degrees either way.
Right.
And it's metal. And Joe had said, yeah, this is one of the best lights around. And this is going back about a year ago. Well, since then, I've bought 5 or 6 of them.
Ooh.
You know, well, because I have one in the house, I have one in the garage, I have one at the shop, and I have the others just still packaged, you know. But when they don't, because I figured they won't sell it anymore and I'll be screwed. This means they're going to sell it forever. It really is one of the best lights I've ever used. And the cool thing about it is it has an edge. You can light the big section in high or low, and then the small little edge lights up. And I've put that into crevices in engines to try and find things that fell and also to try and, you know, to diagnose stuff. Fantastic. So, yeah, your possibilities are almost endless these days.
Because that sounds great because, I mean, those glasses, I have a pair of those glasses. They keep falling off the second I look down. Boom, they're in the engine bay. And the same thing with I have this – I used to have the smaller lights, but like you say, the power is not as great as expected. So my wife bought me this. It looks like something you'd see in an encyclopedia on bugs. Uh-huh. It's got like 4,000 different lamps on it, and you click it, and all the lights go on, and it flashes. It's this wacky thing.
Oh,
but the problem is that it can't stay on my head either. So if I'm under the dash, it's tough because it slides back, and it's been a catastrophe.
Also, I've seen this, and I think it was Matco that had them. If you wear a baseball cap, which many, many guys do, they had LED lights that would clip to the visor of the baseball cap.
Ooh.
And again, give you that forward. But I guess like now you put something that's maybe a little, it all depends. You can hit it on something, I would imagine. I don't think anything is perfect, but it's just.
Yeah, but that's exactly. You hit it on the head. Perfect. Because a lot of times when you wear them in a perfect world, when you're standing upright, Yeah. they're fine. They're great. They douse a lot of light and everything is good. But of course, you're never in that position when you need it. Like yesterday, I was working on the gas gauge on the Chrysler, on the 300 Newport.
Oh, for joy.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the trauma of a Mopar gas gauge is you could write volumes.
Yeah.
And the suffering that has gone on with
GMs aren't trouble-free either.
Exactly. It's the truth. So working on this gas gauge was just horrendous because there was absolutely no light. I had to take, the drop light was staring at me. I had to move that away and I had to talk nicely to it and make sure I didn't insult it. And then the lighter wore my head kept falling off. So it was not a perfect world at all because it wasn't a job. That was basically in a perfect world because it was a lot of under the car at the gas tank. It was a lot of under the dash. It was a lot of that. There was no place that was really – no place where I was standing upright, basically.
Well, to that note, and again, let me say that if people want to get in on this and tell us their choices and options, give us a buzz at 516-256-9510. I trust the phone that'll go to has been silenced.
Yes. Well, let's see.
Yeah, let's test it. There's so many different, like I said, so many different choices. It's endless. And you got, you go by what your friends do, and the tool trucks have a ton of different stuff. Now that's probably the most expensive stuff you're going to find. But they do warranty it. You could always and Brian had said on the show a while ago when he called in, he said one of the things that happens is guys, since all those lights are magnetic, and I've done this, you're under the car and you stick it on the floorboard or the chassis or wherever, and then he says you'll see cars at night driving down the road with this glow under them because the mechanic left the light, and now like he left $100 or $200 light under that car.
Oh boy,
chasing people. Yeah, those things are expensive. I did that once, and it wasn't even my light; it was Mike's light. But the good thing was, I was working on a car at the shop, and it was like the middle at night. I remembered like. Did I put the light back in the dock? The car stayed in the shop overnight. It was still under the car, but at least it didn't go out and get lost. And I didn't have to buy him another like $150 light. Thank God. What about you, John? What are your choices? What do you, besides you? I mean, you got great lighting in the garage, but.
Yeah. Well, I use these battery operated lights now because I had the old school with the cage and it was always a problem.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It would never be where you wanted it. It's
never.
Tail heavy because of the power cord.
Yeah.
So you can't lay it sideways unless you're trying to support. Now you got to hang the cord on something. It's just a pain in the neck.
So I've been bringing.
I went out to the store and just bought a couple of different battery style ones. And then when I got into using the 20-volt DeWalt tools, impact gun, battery operated ratchet, that stuff. That was right there on display case as other things that run off these 20-volt batteries. So I'm set up.
Well, that's like one of the things my wife asked me a while ago. What do you want for like your birthday, Father's Day, Christmas, whatever it was? I just said lights, LED lights, whatever you see, buy it. So, of course, she buys me the same one that I already had, again, from Harbor Freight. And this one is pretty cool because it's a corded light. So – the battery power is nice, but you could lose it unless you're in your own shop. But the corded one, it's a little bigger, and it's kind of cool because it has a hook that you can hang on things. And it also has a mounted magnet that'll swivel around the light. Every time I went to the shop yesterday to work on the Chevelle, and I always bring this with me because it really just – under the hood, you click to the hood, you can click it. The magnet is strong enough, or you can hook it. And it's light enough to just lay down and not worry about burning. I have a burn mark in the seat on my Pontiac from a metal caged drop light from like 35 years ago. All right. We're going to, I think we have a telephonic communication coming in. So we're going to see if this, if we can hook up and, but yeah, we'll talk more about lights and all sorts of cool stuff. And that's what we do. Yeah. I've had a couple of instances where, you just never have enough light.
All righty. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun. Say hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Happy Mother's Day, gentlemen.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
What's up?
Happy Mother's Day, gentlemen.
Happy Mother's Day, Bob.
Happy Mother's Day, Bob.
Yes.
Hey, guys, how are you?
To all the mothers and all the mothers.
Yes, to all you mothers out there.
Yes.
From one to another.
Yeah.
We're good here, guys. And, I had a couple of things I wanted to share with you. Yes, I had bought a box of the Sears pen lights in case they ever ran out. I have them in the garage. I got about 30 of them. I give them out to everybody. I think maybe there might have been one or two going your way at one point.
Actually, there were. I think I have a camo one. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. Can you guys copy me?
Yeah, we can. Those are good. Bob's talking about like a pen light, and they're cool because you can clip them into your shirt pocket, and this way, you know, if you're on a job somewhere where you need light, it's just a nice, quick, easy source, you know, to kind of just guide your way or whatever. But the problem is with the LEDs; they've made so many different types and powers. That, you know, it's not like the one is enough. Like, we used to have the drop light like Chris, and we were happy with it. But now there's so many choices, we want them all. Because that's what we want. That's what we do.
Because they're needed in so many places. It's amazing how dark a garage is. It's amazing how dark it is. Yeah. Even with the door open, and it's like I'm looking at John's garage. It's like you could see the sun just like shining right in. And I'm sure he probably needs a half a dozen lights.
To look back by that firewall,
Yes. I have a lot of lights in this place.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you probably will need a drop light or some sort of light source.
Inside the car, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah. So yeah, Bob, that's We're on the lightsman trail right now. I'm sorry when I take a subject and I start running with it. But have you had any issues with your lights falling in love with you at all, Bob?
I have lights everywhere.
Oh, okay.
I have lights in all the cars. I have lights in all the cars.
All of them. Well, that's cool.
Okay.
That's cool.
If someone breaks down, some guy broke down at Ace, not Ace. At Advantage on Sunrise Island, I had an extra light. I gave them one.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I have these the Harbor Freight ones, the ones that were the ones that are always free. You know, they give you the free light when you. It's like that barrel light. It's a 3.5-inch, and I have new ones that are brand new. You know, it's like just throw it in.
Guys, I'm going to have to get off because I can't hear. I don't want to take any more of your time.
All right, Bob.
But I'll tell you the GT story one other time at a later date. I wish you guys well.
Thanks, Bob. Good talking to you.
Bye-bye.
I was going to say, I was Bob from Rockville Center, a great friend of ours.
Yes.
And I know Joe's out there listening today, so howdy, howdy, hi to Joe and all the guys. I wanted to thank Paul. You know, Pirate Paul, that was something I didn't do a couple weeks ago. He was so instrumental in the early versions of what we're doing now.
Oh, yes,
I
definitely.
I just want to make a public thank you to Paul because he really went out of his way early on.
Paul helped the talent.
Another true car guy, yeah, definitely. And the team is shifted, but we're doing it again. But what I wanted to say was I think the problem with me is, like on the tool trucks, I see it. They keep, like with their tools, they keep upgrading the lights, and now the guys want a new light. They want the better light, the bigger light. And a lot of times a tool guy will actually take it as a trade in and then resell it. Guys like me will buy the older version. What the heck? You know, it's still working.
You know? Let us go to the phones. Let us go to the fun.
What do we got?
And say hi, you're on with the Motormouths. Hello. Hello, hello.
I think that might have been a misdial, actually.
I think
it was a butt dial.
Okay, butt dialed. All right, we're gonna try us again. Call us back 516-256-9510.
Yes,
there you go.
That
okay.
Is
trying very hard not to touch my levels and yeah. blow you guys out of the water here.
Right.
Okay.
So did you get the fuel gauge situation under control in the Chrysler?
I think I did. And here's what I tried to do, because of course you go onto the forums and you go to figure out basically what other people have done, and they have the same maladies most of the time as you do. And I've come to realize that you're on that forum, you're on the forum dialogue, and then you go into the forum rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And this is what happens, because you say, well, I have a problem. My gas gauge doesn't work. Well, it could be the float. It could be the gauge. Yes. And they go through the whole procedures. And then it's like, well, have you tried this sender unit? Well, those sender units come from Japan. Isn't Japan next to Russia? Isn't Russia a communist country?
Right.
And you're like, oh, my gosh, just tell me how to fix the silly thing.
Didn't we bomb them?
Right, exactly.
Right.
It's just this whole... They go into these tangents that yeah. you want to bang your head on the wall. So I finally, what I did was, and mind you, they always give you the same lament. Always. It's someone will say, well, I've changed the sender unit 3 times and I have the same problem.
Right.
And you know what someone will say? Well, it's the sender unit. Duh!
Yeah.
It's not the sender unit.
Do you know the definition of crazy? You know, it's doing the same thing over and over and looking for a different result. I actually have something for you, Chris. I made a calibration box that simulates the signal from a sender, so you can check, you know, you just put it in line.
That's awesome. But you know what? I did exactly what you just said. I did, but okay. I used another sender unit. I ordered another one because, like you say, insanity is you know, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Well, I did that. I ordered another sender unit.
Good.
And basically, I said I'm putting this one in and it's staying in. But what I did was I tested it first.
Yes.
So I made sure it had 10 volts at full and 74 volts at empty.
Ohms. GM is a 90 ohm. Is always 90.
Yeah, Chrysler was like 10 at full and 74 at empty.
Okay.
So what
where
I
did you
was,
find that? Where did you find that spec?
It was. First, it was in a forum, and I also found it in the shop manual. I think it was in the shop manual, too.
That's the one I trust.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So what I did was, I put that one in, took the old one out, and tested that one, too. And I got similar results. I think it was like 9 and change ohms and 73, whatever. But it was in the same ballpark. So I said, what I'm going to do is... I'm going to take my jumper cables, my little alligator clip jumper lines, and I'm going to go to that sender and attach the sender outside of the tank, the one I took out, and I'm going to attach that to the gas gauge in the car, basically.
Right.
And that's what I did. And I set it to full, and I went and looked at the gas gauge. Uh-huh. And, of course, the gas gauge read 3 3/4. So...
Yeah.
I know. Now I go and research that, and I found out that it was a ground issue. So, and that's what I noticed, that if I move the ground around to different parts of the chassis, I got different readings on the gas gauge.
Right.
But none of them were full. The best ground gave me 3/4 full. That was the best ground. So when I had that float outside of the car set to full, the gas gauge at the best ground was able to read 3/4. So I figured, okay, more research. And I'm doing more research on it. And the thing that I've stumbled on is that there is a ground to the dash. And that could be bad. Or that can be...
There is another thing on a Chrysler. Chryslers use a... And I forget their exact term now. I'm surprised that I forgot it. It's like a... It's a dropping resistor. GM's 12 gauges goes to the gauge, but Chrysler's don't. They use like 8 volts.
Yes.
So basically,
no, it's actually 5 volts.
Oh, 5. Okay. So right, that's right. Because I was going to make one out of an LM 317. I was going to use a solid state voltage regulator and just and do that. But I found out I couldn't because it needs the analog. You can actually test that with a test light at the back of the car. You'll see the frequency. You'll see the fluctuation.
It pulses, yes.
Yeah. So that's like super, super common. The guys in the forum should know that one.
Oh yeah, no, guys were saying things like, I was getting misinformation. One of them was one of the diagnoses to check if your gauge is good is if you ground out the wire, the 5 volts, and put 12 volts on it, that needle should swing all the way to full. And if it does swing all the way to full, you're okay. But you're not supposed to leave it there because you can cook that resistor.
Right.
And a lot of guys were saying, oh, you did it once. Oh, my gosh. Now you've cooked the resistor. You've ruined it.
Well, I'll tell you what. But Joe is listening. He says you're ground challenged. I tell you what we're going to do, Chris. We're going to take our break, a bottom of the hour break.
Okay.
So let us see if we can choreograph this.
Alrighty.
Because we have to have now it's the third state that has to come in. So I guess I'll give a countdown in 3, 2, 1. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose the shop where you have your car fixed. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, including 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with rental car arrangements if needed. We're considered an essential business and are still open, providing touchless drop-off and pickup services. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. You are listening to Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D, a.k.a. the Vultures of Automotive Culture, coming your way every Sunday, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, from 12 noon to 1 p.m. These guys know their stuff. You got a problem with your car? Call in and the Motor Mouse will help you with the solution in a very informative and sometimes comical way. Every Sunday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., you can also check them out at motormouthradio.com.
Okay, if our pots have worked, we're back with Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We have Chassis John in Florida. We got the mystery man in the clouds pulling the pots and the buttons. Our tech guy is having some fun, and we're back. So you can give us a call at 516-256-9510.
Write it down.
Yes, okay. And we were talking about, where did we leave off, Chris? We left off.
Oh, the gas gauge.
The gas gauge, right.
Yeah. Yeah, five volts in, and they do sell. They actually sell a digital reader that you put in place of that. It's a couple of bucks, and it's highly recommended from what I was reading on the forum, because a lot of the guys that use these cars as daily drivers are a little bit miffed at the inaccuracy of the gas gauge.
I'd be curious to see what the digital reader does. That I don't know, because that's. That's interesting. You know, I would think it would just read instead of, you know, taking the place of the gauge or anything. But I don't know. I guess you have to talk to the manufacturer and see what the heck that's all about, because I know you do need to have.
Oh, wow. Man, there's a lot of interference on here. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi. Hold on. Let's do this.
That's
got right levels.
What's going on, Jim?
Go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. How you doing? Yeah, there's a lot of interference on here. It's tough to hear you guys, but I'm just going to go with this. First of all, as soon as I heard you hear say ground, I could hear Joe screaming at the screen trying to tell you guys what's going on.
You sure did.
It was one of Joe's...
Oh, no, Jim, believe me, this car is a ground disaster.
You know, I got to tell you a story. And if you follow us on social media, like you should be.
Who knows? I mean, you probably don't have the, you know, the grounds, you know, the regular chassis grounds are probably long rotted away somewhere.
Totally.
Well, if you follow us on Twitter and Instagram, like you
are. And Chris, the other thing I was thinking of, you know, that drop light probably likes you because you keep turning it on. I mean, come on. You're grabbing it with your hand and you're feeling it up, trying to make sure it's pointing in the right direction.
Can you bring Jim down a bit, Chris? He's very, very hot.
Sure. How about now?
You know what? You know, it's funny. I have a fairly large garage. I have a drop light that's hanging from the ceiling. So it's good that I get, as soon as I need a light, I just pull it down and I start looking at stuff. I have the exact opposite. The light I have keeps going the other direction. Like, hey, where are you going? Come over here. I need you to light this up for me.
Jim, do you hear me speaking right now?
Jim, can you hear Ray?
Yeah. I can hear Ray, but he's like overmodulated. I can barely hear. I can hear you, Chris, fairly clear, but it's like he cut out of something.
Wow. All right, because we're hearing you overmodulated. Okay.
Yeah, we're still trying to ride our levels here and get everything in check. So
Joe please, just said oy vey.
Yeah, so please bear with us as far as what we are doing here. Just want to make sure our levels are good. I'm just bumping things here and there. Not crazy. Just want to make sure.
Yeah, you know, I found an issue yesterday on Mike Chevelle. I happened to be I had a list of things to do, and as I was working the lift by the back of the car, because it's an old, you know, the old hydraulic lift.
Right.
You know, you throw the lever one way, then you got to wait for it to bleed. You throw the other lever. As the car was coming down, I look up by the gas cap, and I'm looking at the brand new bumper bolts and all. And what do I see but a brown wire, which I know is the brake light feed for the right side of the car.
Sure.
And the wire was like when the bumper got put up, the wire was between the bracket and the body, and the bolt got tightened.
Uh-oh.
So I said, okay. I took the bolt out, and the wire was nicely flattened. It didn't break, but that was a brake light short waiting to happen. So
oh, yeah.
I posted that on social media last night if anybody wants to see it.
And, oh, boy.
It's just one of those things.
I happen to see that. That's a very good catch.
Yeah.
It was luck. You know, I wasn't there looking for that. I just happened. Chris, it's like we always say, when you're under the car doing an oil change, you look around. Look for something shiny. Look for something broken, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many disasters I've alleviated just by changing the oil. My classic was on the Pontiac, on my little Sunbird. I noticed I was able to see through the ball joint. I was like, I just looked. I saw light through the ball joint. I went, that's wrong. Can't do that. Can't do that.
Wow, Chris, even you found that. Yeah, very good.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, no problem, man.
All right.
Hey, you keep picking on Howie. I'll keep picking on you.
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks for the call. We got another one coming in, so we're going to dash.
All righty. We'll talk to you soon, Jim.
Thanks, guys. I'm out.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. All righty. Yeah, we got someone on the line who I just gave the okay to call. And this is a surprise caller from a repair job I was talking about a couple weeks ago. We're going to get an update on the project. It's kind of a father-son thing, which is kind of cool. John, it's kind of right up the alley of what's in your garage. Not on the hot rod side, but on the hardware side, at least. So.
Okay. Very good.
Hopefully it'll work.
Yeah, yeah.
You can call us, 516-256-9510. That's right. The phone number to get a hold of us here at Motorbath Radio.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's basically what was going on. I do have a low amount of gasoline in the tank right now, so I figure tomorrow I'm going to take it over to get some gas in it and see if the problem is going to at least remedy itself, because I don't really care about the accuracy of the gauge.
Yeah. You can't make this stuff up with live radio, folks. This is the way it goes. We're going to get another call coming in a second, and we'll going to have some fun. This is a good story. You know, you talk about those common interest, public interest, those feel-good things. This is a good one. You're going to like this, John. Absolutely. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. That's one of Joe's favorites. I know he throws that to me a couple times a week when he's wondering what the heck I'm sending him.
Go to the phones. We got Harry on the phone.
All right.
Harry, you want the motor mouth?
It's It's Barry with a B.
Barry, I'm sorry, Barry.
I just want to, you know, I figured out where the UD is, and I have a lot of other things to tell you, but briefly, happy Mother's Day. I was working for a Kawasaki dealer, and we saw Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention at the Nassau Coliseum. But way back, and it's another story for another time, but we were able to get in, like, the back door, so to speak. I'll tell you that another day. But I also wanted to say, love the show. As far as lights, I'm using an ancient Woods wire cage light, which I've repaired 3 times.
Is it made out of wood?
Got, almost. Chris, you know, I just want to say I saw that old show, The Baron. It's an ancient show, and the guy's driving a Newport, I believe, a silver one. Mm. And you should check that show out. I think it's called The Baron. And it was like Hawaiian Eye, that sort of 1958 stuff.
I don't.
Yeah, you check that out. I know. I'm really plumbing the depths here.
Yeah.
You know what I noticed? It's very difficult for me to speak with you guys because I'm so isolated in the bunker here. I'm not used to. So I just want to say I'm also using a Central Tools AAA. Flashlight, pen light with Lexan rods, which lets you bend around corners and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's from like, it's a Central tool. It's a hand, you know, it's like hand turned aluminum, and they don't even make that anymore.
You know, I had one of those in black, and because of connectivity problems, I finally had to get rid of it. But that was a really cool little light that would get into the smallest places.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, you guys are breaking up. I just want to tell you one thing. I figured out where the UD is. I'm not going to rat out Joe, but hey, you know, it's located. No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down. The UD is located slightly east of the United Nations, 800 feet under the East River. Now, it's an annex of UNCLE headquarters, Section 13. And Joe is actually an UNCLE agent. Joe is an UNCLE agent, man.
You know, Joe, I'll tell you something, Barry. You have no idea how close you really are.
You know, you guys are breaking up. I can't even get some joy from it all. But anyway, there's a, you know, the girl who comes on after your show.
Kim.
Who does the Thunder Road. Yeah. She's a thrush agent, so watch out for her.
Yeah, we do. We keep her at a hairy eyeball. We know.
Harry, thank you so much for the call, my brother.
Okay, I'll call you. I'm getting back on 4G. I just want to say I love the show, and Alana was great last week. I don't call much, but I appreciate what you guys are doing. You guys are very sharp.
Thank you.
Tell Joe I said hello, and you know, you guys are great.
You just
thanks
did.
Barry.
Thanks Barry. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye bye.
All right, Ray. Be
all
good.
Right, so long. All right. Now our next one should come in. That was Barry's always a lot of fun. You know, he's And Joe replied to that. He says, yes, he is Uncle Funge.
He is Uncle Funge.
Right.
And for those of you that don't know, that's Uncle Mushroom.
Right.
So, just to let you know.
Just because it sounds so cool.
Yes. It's my uncle of one.
There we go. All right. We got another call coming in as Chris does the screening jobs. We will be, we'll fill with some classy rejoiners and wonder if we can.
All righty. Let's see if we can go back to the phones. Back to the fun. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Hello, hello, hello.
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 How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you? Who's this?
This is Gary and Chris in New Jersey.
Hey, how are you, Gary? How are you, Chris?
How are you, Gary? Thanks for calling. Is Chris awake, by the way? Because that's Gary's son, is Chris. And this is a father-son team, Chris and John, that I talked about a few weeks ago who bought that 79 Camaro.
Right.
And I was helping them diagnose their carburetor and ignition issues either via phone or text or Zoom, which is kind of a new way of doing it for me. So
new way of diagnoses, yes. What town in Jersey are you guys calling us from?
We're in Sterling, New Jersey. So you can imagine it's, you know, just after 12 o'clock and Chris is up. He's got his coffee. And guess what we're sitting down to for breakfast, lunch?
If you're in Jersey, there's something that involves a pork roll.
Exactly. We've got those sandwiches going on right now.
Now I'm getting hungry. So, Gary, tell everybody about this project car that you guys got involved with, and just so they can hear it from you instead of me.
The 1979 Camaro, it was blue at one time, but now it's white. And we found it in a garage over in Bridgewater of a house I was showing, a realtor. And Christopher said, let's go back and check that out. And we went over there. The car looked like it definitely needs some love in it. And so we brought it back to the house, and we've been working on it for, a few months now, on and off. And we've gotten it out of the driveway, and we're trying to get it back out of the driveway right now.
Under its own power, I'm assuming?
It is Mother's Day. We hope to roll it out of the garage today.
Mom won't mind, right?
Gary, a lot of the work himself on it already.
Our secret agent,
this thing was abandoned. What's that?
I was going to say, our secret agent tech guy in the clouds over here wants to know if your wife liked the lobster roll today that you got her.
Well, we're starting out with pork roll, and we're moving up to lobster roll. We're going around having fun, but we've got some Prosecco coming out later, some mimosas, and we're going to – I got to shell out those lobster stuff.
I may have to reopen this bottle of Cuervo Gold I got upstairs and have some more margaritas this afternoon.
Nice. Yeah. Now you're talking.
So Gary, this car had a this Camaro had a slew of issues with it. Notwithstanding only the carburation, ignition, there was some wiring stuff. What's been the most challenging thing to overcome with your son's help?
We have limited time to work on it because, he's a busy guy. He's in high school still, right? He got his Eagle Scout, so he's been busy.
Right.
So time has really been kind of probably the most challenging thing. Okay. And, we've had to kind of start from square one and try to figure things out. And Ray's been great helping us out with that. I mean, Christopher could tell you, some of the basic stuff we've done so far. But, I think we're making progress. He's done a slew of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got the thing running and, it's down to some diagnostic time, but
so Gary, do you plan on keeping it stock, or do you want to do something? You want to do some modifications to it?
Well, it's really Chris's car, so I'd have him answer that.
Okay,
it's kind of already not stock.
Oh, so you got it? It wasn't stock when you picked it up, right, Chris?
Yeah, no, there's definitely modifications done to it.
Uh huh. So,
but at the moment, we're just trying to get it to run down the road and then
try to get to move under its own power,
do whatever else we need to do to it, and then maybe eventually down the line throw in some extra spikes.
So, Chris, when you've gone through,
you want to hit it with a nitrous spike?
No, I did throw in some spikes.
So, did you? You've gone through this car. What have you found that you've been amazed? Oh my gosh, I can't believe they've done, whomever has done something so bad to this vehicle. Have you found anything like that? Anything that can be some sort of butcher?
Yeah, like the cars you've bought, Chris, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I know, misery loves company.
Exactly.
What was the worst thing you found, Chris, with the car?
Probably just that whole stack of washers over by the headers up front.
Yeah.
Couldn't use a shorter bolt.
I think that was the power steering pump is, I guess because they put headers on there, took off the exhaust manifold. They needed to make up some space for how the power steering pump would be mounted. So they just stacked up a bunch of washers. But Christopher lined them up really nice and we put it back together.
Was that an AC car?
Now all the lock washers line up with the slot.
Yeah. Was that originally an AC car, Gary?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have that stuff. We assume it was taken out for horsepower.
I had to do this with Mike's other Chevelle last year. The AC was it's a factory AC small block, and it was all loose. And there's a bracket that luckily, when they changed the compressor, the guy didn't go out of the way of putting the bolts into the manifold. It's like a three-point mounting system. And it's a bit of a pain in the neck. You got to do it in the right procedure. And the guy who changed the compressor did not do that. Luckily, the bracket didn't get lost. It was hanging on for dear life, and I was able to take it out and then, you know, take everything apart and put this in. I told Mike, I said, I don't think you can find this. I mean, forget about a junkyard these days.
Mm.
But I checked the resto places when I got home. Nobody has that part. If you don't have that original bracket, you are screwed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some of that stuff is, you know, you don't realize it. We took it for just, you know, it was just a commonality back in the day. But now some of those parts make or break a restoration.
Yeah, so, sure do. Because you don't want to use a lot of
aftermarket companies are manufacturing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you had to go back to GM or Ford or Chrysler and try and figure out what you needed.
Right. Yeah, you can do that through the dealership. You could do that, but now, you know, there's a bunch of stuff. Some of that real specific stuff isn't made yet. It's just kind of like I said. If you looked at it, it's like bent in three different directions because all the mounting holes are on three different planes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, GM was able to do that because they're GM, and everybody else did the same thing. But
right.
Yeah, for the aftermarket, it wouldn't pay to even try to make the thing. I don't know. So, yeah. So use washers. That's what we do. We stack up washers.
There you go. I'm guilty of that way back when.
Right.
And, you know, that's the thing, because a lot of times when you see a job like that, you kind of go, what else did they do like this? What else was slapped together and fabricated? You know, and that's usually you do find what else. You always do.
Well, in a case like that, it was a matter of, you know, we want to keep the power steering, but we definitely want the headers. So because the exhaust manifold's gone, we got to make that work. And then let's go to the, you know, to the washers. So I understand that. And I've probably even done that in my career.
It's not always easy to find a thick wall piece of tubing that you can actually cut as a proper spacer.
You're right. Right. And this was cast. It's actually, it's cast steel. You know, it's a heavy part. Right. Billy G is saying there were crossover years with Buick and Pontiac and Olds in those years using the same parts. So I guess back then you had some, you know, you could go to a number of different dealers. Now they're all gone.
Very true. Very true.
Gary, we want to keep in touch with you on this and keep abreast of this project as it happens, because the listeners will definitely find some stuff. You got to send me some pictures and we'll post them up on our site if you like. And we'll, so the listeners can see what you got yourself into.
Absolutely. Again, we hope to kind of get it out of the garage today. So maybe we'll get a picture of Chris and his mom on Mother's Day driving down the road with the T-tops off.
Excellent.
You know, and but we gotta get some transmission fluid in first, because we seem to have some slipping happening.
Okay. Yeah. Don't let that thing burn up. They're expensive.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it's got T-tops, which is awesome. That's fantastic.
Right.
Make sure you got that Saturday Night Fever cassette in the
All right, Gary, thanks for the call. We're gonna have to run because we're almost at the end of the show, so we gotta take care of some business.
Okay, great.
Thanks for calling.
Take care, guys, and appreciate those mothers.
Yes, sir.
Always.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Right, thanks, Gary. Thanks, Chris.
Gary and Chris from New Jersey. That's who knows? Maybe one day we'll get to get an eyeball on that car and get a look at it and see what's going on. So
yeah, and it's got T-tops, that alone. But you know me, I would go right back to stock again. I would try and find all those parts and just try and get it back to a stock formation.
I think the engine may be changed in that car, so it may be, you know, not the original engine. There was some fault in that because of the way it was set up.
Mm-hmm.
So you know. In that case. Well,
and that's, you know, and that's funny that you should bring that up, because now where do you go? It would take so much money to bring that car back to stock, and you're saying that the engine isn't original, so you're compromised that way. So you're not fully going to make it all the way to stock. But what do? Do you turn around and invest that money and make it go quick?
You know, I'll tell you this: with that year car, for the little bit that I watched the market, I think if you want to make money on a stock one, it's got to be the most pristine 5 mile stored since new car, because there was so many of them around and they get beat up. The interiors get beat.
Oh, yeah.
If you have just even a nice looking one that's, you know, men's and men's, you're not going to get the high dollars for it. Because it's just, so I think a car like that at this point is like, do what you want, do what you feel fit. And, you know, like Mike bought this Trans Am, a 79 Trans Am. That's original. I mean, the thing is like, and he bought it from, of course, your buddy, Jeff.
Right.
So, you know, it's low miles. The car is documented and it is gorgeous. So that was the one that was worth buying, you know.
Totally.
No, you had to see the haggling between those guys.
Oh, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that fiasco. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
I got to see part of it and I was chuckling. I was like, oh, this is great.
Yes. When you see the two Titans lock horns.
Yeah, both guys who are big in the game and know the deal, know the buy and sell.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it was actually a lesson for me because you see people's personas change and you're like, whoa, it's cool.
Oh, yeah, I love that. And that is truly when you learn the most. Is like my dad always said, you keep your mouth shut and people don't realize how stupid you really are.
Yeah,
and in those situations, I just stand back.
And they tune in on Sunday and they find out everything. Right?
And they learn. These guys, this is a mediocre car show. Nice. They learn real fast, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
But this is so. What's going to happen next week, Ray? What do we got planned? What bomb are we dropping next week?
We had a couple guests in the wings. No one's dropped in yet. Actually, I've been talking with Tori, and Lou Santiago is going to come on and give us an update. But when he's ready, he wants to wait until Garage Insider TV is all set up. He's doing some stuff now. He's working on jobs, but he just wants to wait until he's ready, which is fine.
Which is cool. That's cool.
So we'll have Lou on to give us an update and tell us all about his stuff. And and there's always other people, you know, up in the wings. You know, I don't like to tip my hand too much because we keep the surprise. Plus, sometimes they don't do it and then we look like idiots. So.
Right.
We'll find us some chassis guys, some good hot rod guys.
And we need as many as we can because we have to get the levels right on these phones. So. So we need guinea pigs. Technological guinea pigs.
The telephone interface seems to be the hardest thing.
It is. But we'll get it done. We'll get it right. It's, you know, I always appreciate that people still call, people still support us, and people are still listening. And they haven't thrown up their hands and have gone, "Bleh," yet. Right. We're still working on it.
Has the university made any kind of decision as to when you can go back on campus?
We can't. They just said not all summer you can't. So no classes. Everything's online. Yeah. So there's nothing. So listen, we got to get out of here. We're gonna transition out of here. And happy Mother's Day to all. We will be back next week with hopefully a guest. We'll let you know. Follow us on social media. And like Chris always says,
don't follow us or our mother's home.
Right. John, thanks for sitting in. We'll see you next week. 90.3 WHPC. Ray Gorey and Chris Switzer out. See ya.